Welcome to Voting Matters, a series of conversations about the voting process from WUKY and the League of Women Voters. Now, here's your co-hosts, Liza Holland, president of the Lexington chapter of LWV, and WUKY's Alan Lytle.
Hi, hello, and welcome back into Voting Matters, the podcast about the voting process and civic participation. And of course, Liza sits across from me here in the studio. Welcome again, Liza.
So great to be here, Alan.
Before we get to our guest, this is day number one of early voting. So the primary season is here.
It is definitely upon us, and wanted to mention that in Fayette County anyway, you can vote at any of the library locations, and it doesn't matter which one. So you've got lots of great flexibility there, and encouraged you to make a little party of it. Grab some of your friends and go vote.
Yes, as our guest will tell you very shortly, it's better for your health to cast a ballot.
Indeed it is.
Okay, so let's introduce our guest for today.
Well, we're real excited to have League member Nancy Crew. She has a long history in public health, and she's made some really neat connections to public health and democracy.
Let's say hello to Nancy Crew.
Hello, Nancy. We're so excited to have you. You are such a valuable League member, and you know, you've had a super long career in public health and community service. So what led you to voter education and voter empowerment work?
Well, I got interested and joined the League in the early 2020, or in the, actually before 2020, before COVID. I attended a local candidate forum that was sponsored here in Madison County by the League of Women Voters and by the Richmond Chamber of Commerce. And I was enormously impressed with the content, the structure, and it was well attended. It was held in the Perkins Building on the EKU campus. And I got, as a voter, a huge amount of information out of that. And I realized that I could get involved with the League because it was nonpartisan and a grassroots group. And also, it was the message of empowering voters and defending and promoting democracy was very attractive to me. So that's how I got involved and joined the League at that time.
I'm right there with you. That core message of empowering voters and supporting democracy is absolutely the way to go. So now you and I have had some opportunities to get out in front of people. But as you're talking and with voters, maybe in throughout Madison County, and I know you've been up here in Fayette with me as well. What are you hearing from people who maybe feel hesitant or disconnected from voting?
Well, as I shared in my first essay, the whys and hows of voting, why should you vote? I'm a member of the Voter Services Committee of the League. And so I'm involved in educating and registering people to vote in Fayette and Madison counties. And what I've seen in the course of my outreach efforts, I sometimes heard people say they don't want to register to vote or participate in elections because they don't see how their vote has an impact on their community. Or they may claim that all candidates for elected office are the same, so their choice won't matter. And finally, some people that I talk to say they are disconnected from local issues or don't know enough about them to make an informed choice.
Now, Nancy, you describe voting as the language of democracy. What does that mean to you?
Well, that actually was a quotation, an idea I got from the Leadership Conference on Civil and Human Rights, which is a large nonprofit coalition of organizations that deal with civil and human rights. And what that means to me is when we vote, we're not just electing government officials. We are expressing our values, our needs, our preferences, our satisfactions, and our dissatisfactions. And as the language of democracy, voting is one of the main tools we have to communicate how we wish to be governed, who we choose to put into office reflects the issues that we all care about, our commitment to finding solutions for pressing problems, and how we'd like to see our tax dollars spent. And this is all why voting is important to our democracy.
Now, at the same time, some people will come up to me and some other folks and just say, you know, my vote doesn't matter, or all the candidates are the same. So, I mean, what is your response to that in a way that invites people in rather than, well, let's say, shutting them out?
Well, there are a couple of things I'd point out. First, I'd say elections impact our lives, our families, and our futures. And couching this in terms of local issues here in Madison County that I'm sure are very similar in Fayette, things like how many resources will our schools get? Are governments going to repair the potholes in the roads in front of our house? What growth practices are going to be applied to land use and development in our county? How will local emergencies be planned for? How will local concerns like data centers, homelessness, and job corrections be addressed by our local officials? And questions like this, including the very real question of what our children's futures are going to look like, these decisions are determined by those of us who vote into office somebody at every level of government. And voting and encouraging someone like the person you would talk to vote means, standing up for those values and issues we care about by electing someone who has the interests of all at heart. Also, I'd like to point out that every vote counts, especially at the local level. In elections, victory for one candidate might be determined by a few votes more than just the other candidate. Tight races often have low turnout, and therefore our votes are more impactful. But whether an election is decided by thousands of votes or just a handful, the decisions are always made by those who vote. A vote is more than just one ballot cast. Each vote helps determine our future. And I personally find voting very empowering for me and for others as well.
Well, you know, it's always been said if you don't vote, you more or less forfeit your right to complain about how things are run around here. And I think there's a lot of truth to that.
I would agree with you, Alan. Nancy, tell me, you know, you have such a long and diverse background in public health, and you wrote about that in some of your essays. By the way, we'll go ahead and post Nancy's essays on the League website. Maybe we'll even get it onto the Voting Matters website.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We'll link to it for sure. Definitely. Yeah.
But I think that makes your perspective unique. So how do you feel voting is connected to community health and well-being?
Well, I personally think voting is good for us. In 2022, the American Medical Association passed a resolution declaring voting as a social determinant of health. And social determinants of health are the condition in the environments where people are born, live, learn, work, play, worship, and age that affect a wide range of health, functioning, and quality of life outcomes and risks. They're grouped into five domains. I won't go over those here, but they have a major impact on people's health, well-being, and quality of life. And again, I'll cite just a few examples, things like safe housing, transportation and neighborhoods, education, job opportunities and income, access to nutritious foods and physical activity opportunities, discrimination and violence, polluted air and water, and language and literacy skills. So, and they also contribute social determinants of health to wide health disparities and inequities. For instance, somebody who doesn't have access to grocery stores with healthy foods are less likely to have good nutrition, which raises their risk of health conditions like heart disease, diabetes, and obesity, and even lowers life expectancy relative to people who do have access to healthy foods. And also, just promoting healthy choices won't eliminate these and other health disparities. Instead, public health organizations and their partners, like the League of women voters and other sectors like education, transportation, and housing need to take action to improve the conditions in people's environments.
I think that's so important, and it's kind of validating because, you know, the league is looking at ways that we can continue to build community. There have recently been some wonderful research studies that talk about how being in community with others actually lengthens your lifespan. And also, impacts your health like that. So it's exciting to know on the public health side of it that what we're looking to do here actually does make a difference. And I think that community piece is also a little bit about, you know, how you can kind of do some social pressure to get people to vote. What do you think?
I think so. Again, voting is good for us. Recent research shows a consistent association between voting and health. People who vote tend to report better health compared to those who do not vote. And voters show better future mental and physical health than non-voters, even after adjusting for a wide range of other factors, including age. And voting has huge influence. It can, for instance, it can affect health policy. As you mentioned, it fosters community empowerment. It encourages civic engagement and builds social capital. And if you vote, if lots of people vote, higher voter turnout is correlated with better health outcomes in communities. And lower voter participation is often linked to marginalized, socioeconomically disadvantaged communities and people with chronic disease. And finally, access to voting decreased again. This is decreased access to voting leads to worse health outcomes. People with chronic diseases have reduced access to voting, and marginalized communities also have decreased access to voting. Mm-hmm. So again, they feed off each other. If you vote, you're healthy. If you're healthier, you vote. So I think it's, again, a wonderful partnership possibility with the league operating under this notion of having a positive impact on taking down the social determinants of health.
Nancy, now let's shift a little bit from the why to the how. What's the first practical step that every voter should take before Election Day?
All right. Well, I covered this in my second essay, talking about which segued off of the first one, which were the four key reasons for voting. And I mentioned that the process of voting starts with the information we need to prepare to vote. For instance, with the primary in the fall elections approaching, it's critical that we know how to verify our voter registration, register to vote, locate our polling place, and view a sample ballot. And what I point out is information on how to vote is readily available online. You can start, for instance, with the essentials of voter registration. You can verify your information at the online voter information center, which the same site lets you find your polling place and check the status of a requested absentee ballot if you ask for one. And to register to vote or update your current registration record, you can go to the online voter registration site. So all this can be done from your phone, from a laptop. You can get help at the library or help from the league. A lot of ways to do this, these very crucial first steps to make sure you are registered to vote and everything on your record is up to date.
Now, Nancy, our radio station, we have a resource page and some voter information on WUKY.org. But what are some other reliable nonpartisan resources that voters can use to learn, like, what's on the ballot and where the candidates stand on certain issues?
Well, what I did was share three sites, one national NPR site. They offer the national list by date, state, and territory of how to register to vote in the 2026 primaries with deadlines and a description for each election. if you're looking at the Commonwealth of Kentucky, they have the Commonwealth of Kentucky State Board of Election Sites, and the associated links provides Kentucky-specific voting information, very comprehensive. Also, go to your local county clerk site. The Madison County Clerk's Election Department site, again, excellent site, set forth the Madison County Clerk's role in our elections and responsibilities and offers many links about Madison County's specific resources, like a sample ballot, information about how to become an election officer, list of candidates, a video voting tutorial, and maps and pictures of local polling locations. So that's a very comprehensive site and very locally focused here for Madison County, and very well done.
You know, for those of you out there thinking about your Kentucky registration, govote.ky.gov is a great place to double check and make sure everything is good. And Nancy, I agree with you that finding all of this information out so that you know what you're looking at ahead of time. I would also toss in there finding out what the people that you're voting for actually stand for. The League has several primary candidate forums that are up and able for you to be able to watch for the primary. And, you know, there's a lot of different voting sites, even if you go to the candidate site, to learn a little bit more about what this person really thinks before you go into the ballot box. So your final step, talking about encouraging family and friends to make their own voting plans. Why would you say that that matters?
Well, again, I think that I look on this as a checklist. I developed a How to Vote tool, which is a five-step voting plan based on the Vote 411 Make a Voting Plan website. And it's because life happens. There's uncertainties that can derail the best intentions we have to participate in our democracy. So therefore, we need to be proactive as voters and develop a plan before we go to the polls. And again, I listed five steps, thinking of them like a checklist to create our own plan to vote.
What do you think that some of our other organizations in our towns can do, that like churches and nonprofits, neighborhood groups, community leaders, what can they do to help more people to participate?
Well, again, I think sharing information in a nonpartisan fashion is valuable. I will refer people to sites like I did where they can find it. Again, a checklist like this, step one, be sure to confirm your voter registration and or register how to vote, like we talked before. Stay on top of step two, stay on top of the dates or deadlines for requesting an absentee ballot, registering to vote, and casting your ballot, mail-in, in-person absentee, in-person early voting, and primary election voting. Check out where you vote. Know where to go during early voting days or on election day. And again, as you said, you know, research these candidates. Look at your sample ballots on the county clerk site and research what the candidates stand for. You can go to their social media sites, attend their meet and greet, read their campaign literature and newspaper and online articles in their position, watch the debates and interviews that you mentioned before, Jennifer, and so forth. There's lots of information out there easily accessible on social media. That's why I tied everything back to an online methods of finding stuff out. It's there. It may take you a bit of a while to find it. There was a question on the Preserve Madison County site the other day about early voting and where to go. Well, I was on social media. I saw that, so I clicked in some information and links from the county clerk site to answer that question. And that was very, again, nonpartisan, fact-based, and I'm hoping helpful for that person who posed the question. But again, I think the key is, again, being sure to realize how good voting is for us and how how it really is an expression of our values and what we believe in. That's how I was raised, that voting was a very much an act of promoting active citizenship. It was a public witness, and it focused on the common good and, or should, and human dignity, and that decisions that we make when we vote should be made at the most local level possible. And we should want to care about municipal and state races, not just federal ones. I was raised with that value system, and by my parents, both of whom were voted every election, never missed. And I think it gave it a moral and ethical cast as well that could, again, nonpartisan, that can fit in with many organizations.
Yeah, Nancy, now for someone listening today who cares about democracy, but they might feel a little overwhelmed, just give us one simple action that they can take as soon as this episode ends.
Make yourself a plan to vote. A five-part plan that I suggested, again, which is based on 411's making a voting plan, is simple, easy to follow, not overly theoretical. And again, you don't have to use my plan. You can go to the Vote 411 site. Mine was, again, a little more, had more of a local spin, since it was being shared initially on the Preserve Madison County Facebook page. But those five steps are the same no matter what county you live in or what election you are going to vote in.
Nancy, you have given us such a comprehensive list, and I just want to thank you for taking the time and energy to put these essays together. Any of us out there can amplify this effort, can share it with friends, all those kinds of things, especially in these times right now. It's a little bit challenging out there. So as a kind of a final question here, what gives you hope in this work?
I think it's all the what I feel. Hope is, I read a prayer on hope that was put online by a retired minister. And so hope is something that kind of flickers on and off sometimes. It's not sparkly, but it's something that we take with us as we go forward, side by side with me, hope. And it's people that I've met in countless settings who stand up for democracy, who believe in promoting the common good, who believe in human dignity, and I've met so many of them through the League and through other organizations I'm involved with, nonprofit, nonpartisan organizations I'm involved in Madison County. So again, and also in Lexington when I lived there. So those organizations keep that torch of hope flickering and going, and that's what keeps me hopeful.
That's a great answer. Thank you so much, Nancy. We really appreciate you taking the time to be a guest here on Voting Matters.
Well, thank you all for the opportunity to share my thoughts, which again are meant for the greater good of this audience who is listening to this podcast. It's been quite an honor to be on.
Well, thank you, Nancy. And do you plan to vote early, or are you going to show up to the poll on Tuesday?
I plan to vote early.
That would be well on brand for you especially.
Well, no, and it's okay to have a plan B out there as well. I had to do that last year. I thought I was going to vote early, and the line was too long for me to be able to make it, and so I wound up voting on Election Day. So don't get deterred if your first option didn't work out quite like you'd want it to.
Absolutely.
Yes, Nancy, thank you so much for giving of your time and attention to this very important matter. That's why we call this Voting Matters. So you have a good day now.
Thank you all so much. And again, felt very privileged to be on this podcast. You all have a good rest of your week.
A lot of great information there from Nancy Crew.
Absolutely. And I just love that connection to public health and your own personal health with voting and all those great correlations. It was a really neat thing to hear.
Well, she has laid out a roadmap on how to vote and what to do before you go vote. Let's review where the best place to check for that information is.
Well, I always have to give the first nod to the League. We've got some great candidate forums up online, and we've also been very honored to partner with WKYT. We did a mayoral forum that you can watch again on their website. We did a 6th District forum. And then CivicLex also has a wonderful thing about the different people that are on the ballot for our local races. So
a lot of them nonpartisan.
Yes, exactly. That's the thing I love about Lexington is that we have these nonpartisan races. In fact, I was on a podcast recently talking about that with the folks in Louisville that they've just moved to nonpartisan races, and I think they're awesome.
Folks, get with the program. This is the way you run a city. Oh, boy, absolutely. We'll get letters and mails on that one. Okay, well, thank you so much, Liza, for all of your time and attention. And, you know, obviously, we're taking a little pause during this election, primary election season, and crank back up because guess what? We've got a general election, and it's a very big one coming up in November.
Absolutely. And I would invite anybody, if you have a specific topic that you think that we ought to cover around civic life, please feel free to message us on Facebook or reach out to WUKY. And again, make that plan and execute it. Go out and vote.
And proving once again that voting matters. And we'll see you next time.
You've been listening to Voting Matters, a podcast produced in collaboration with WUKY and the League of Women Voters. Subscribe to our show wherever you get your podcasts, or download Voting Matters from the podcast page at wuky.org. We also have links from the organizations and guests mentioned in this program. See you next time for Voting Matters.